4:07 on a Friday afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Sports Line, Rich Roth, Ed Lane, live all across the Virginia Talk Radio Network, 100.9 in Lynchburg, 102.5 in Roanoke, and the New River Valley, and down in the South Side, 106.3. Folks, welcome to the show. Good one coming your way here today on the Sports Line. Unless, of course, you're a Hokie fan.
God, that was brutal for them last night.
I don't know that this is going to be a bad show if you're a Hokie fan, but man, what a bad mood you must be in.
Not only did they get waxed by Miami, who's, you know, a pretty big rival, they got killed and almost shut out at home on Thursday Night Football in a game that struggled to sell out.
They eventually got the sellout. So I'll tell you what, ESPN did a great job with the pregame entrance, like their coverage of it. I don't know if you caught it or not.
No, I didn't.
Did a great job with it. You know, Enter Sandman coming down the tunnel, the whole place jumping. Then 30 points later.
3 second half fumbles later.
A token touchdown at the end just to put some points on the board. Wow. Wow.
And this wasn't even a good Miami team. I mean, talented, yes. I think everyone's kind of known the Canes have been the most talented team in the Coastal, but it's not like they've put it together over the course of the year, and it's not like I'm sitting there thinking, oh, this win is an omen. They're that good. They'll run the table the rest of the way. They might lose next week, and I'm sure they'll lose in a couple weeks when they have Florida State at home. And not only that, Rich, but Miami, I mean, you know, we heard it last night, struggling to run the football. They have an awful run defense. They've given up over 300 a game to Georgia Tech and Nebraska. Louisville pretty much ran at will against them as well. And yet at halftime, Miami is outrushing Virginia Tech 174 to minus 13. I mean, Rich, it was so bad that Virginia Tech's down 17-0. I'm sure you saw this. Maybe you were watching the Thursday night real game between the two decent teams, Chargers and the Broncos. Miami pins Tech back to their own, what, 2 yard line, second quarter?
On the punt?
On the punt, 17-0. Tech doesn't even try to run and create space. Like, they don't try to run. Maybe we'll get it up to the 5-10 yard line, breathing room for a punt, and then we can take a shot as well. Three pass plays, all under duress, all incompletions.
Well, two of them were just thrown away.
Yeah, but they were under duress the whole time. They didn't even try to run. I mean, what does that say about your running game and your offensive line? You didn't even try to run when you just needed, like, 3 yards.
It's kind of hard to believe that this is the same team that beat Ohio State in Columbus. Really hard to believe. And now all of a sudden, we have what feels like a little bit of a snowball effect. Thought things might be getting better a few weeks ago against Carolina. But the Pitt game was brutal. I mean, that was a horrendous loss, and last night was just even worse. Worse. Like you said, at home. The crowd finally showed up, and they were into it for a few minutes before
the wheels just officially didn't get going, and for the defense came off again.
Just hideous. Hideous. That was a rough one last night for Tech fans. Had to be.
Do you give them much of a shot? Even with the Coastal being as bad as it is. Worst division in the Power Five conferences.
Do you give them much of a shot for what?
to still somehow win this putrid division? Like, realistically, I'm not talking mathematically. I'm talking realistically based on what you've seen, what you know is left on their schedule and everyone else's.
Well, they're in dead last place, 1-3.
Correct.
Carolina could join them this week if Virginia beats Carolina. If not, in order to win the Coastal, they will have to leapfrog 6 other teams.
3 of whom have head-to-head tiebreakers over them.
At least 3. I mean, they haven't even played Duke yet. And they have to go to Durham. And we know you don't just go to Durham and beat them with a 15,000 that'll show up to pull out to cheer on the Blue Devils.
I mean, it's bad. The product is not very good right now, Rich. And, you know, for all the optimism that, well, Miami doesn't have a good run defense, Tech will at least be able to get something against them. They finally did in the second half, and they fumbled the ball and kept turning it over. I mean, does it kind of feel like you legitimately start wondering? I mean, we've talked about it before, and I think everyone's afraid to say it, so I'll just go ahead and say it. It's fair to wonder what direction this program is going and whether Frank Beamer's the right guy to lead it. I get it. That's almost blasphemous with Virginia Tech fans. I don't get the impression that, you know, last night would have been the night where other fan bases would have started booing, expressing their displeasure, and then leaving early. Tech kind of just sat there, wanted something to cheer about. I never got the impression, and it kind of comes back to me, I don't know if the Virginia Tech fan base has the internal guts. They talk about wanting to be on par with the SEC. First of all, they would be bad in the SEC East this year. All right, they're bad in the ACC Coastal, and it's worse.
Well, that's what I was going to say. But, I mean, when you're dead last in the ACC Coastal,
yeah,
comparing it to anything that has the letters SEC involved in it is insanity.
Well, but here's the thing, though. I will say this, Rich. Florida's had a couple of down years, and I know Will Muschamp doesn't have the history that Frank Beamer has at Virginia Tech. But, I mean, you look at fan bases out there. Miami, we heard it last night. I mean, Uncle Luke's like, yeah, everybody wants to get rid of Al Golden. They just pummel Tech.
Well, yeah, but you hit the nail on the head, though. He's got some political capital. He's built up a lot of goodwill because of where he's brought this program from. It's, you know, I think it's difficult to compare him, talking about Frank Beamer, to Will Muschamp or to Al Golden. You've got to look at Bobby Bowden,
Joe Paterno,
even though those guys, I think, did more winning national championships.
They actually beat big teams in big games.
Well, you know, but winning national championships and perennially having their teams and programs in the top five, you know, they were at a level above where Frank Beamer brought Tech. But I think that's a better comparison than, like, Al Golden.
You're right. I'll give you that. But even then, you know, and I guess it depends. I mean, Penn State is just a delusional cult. I mean, I don't know if you can even compare Tech fans to that. But Florida State, I mean, Florida State to me is kind of SEC light. I mean, they're the closest thing in the ACC to Southeastern Conference football, both in the quality of talent they are able to produce and do reel in, and then the way their fans approach the school. And, you know, when Bobby Bowden started slipping, I think the cries were a little more loud. And, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, we're in Virginia, they're in Tallahassee, but even having gone to school with people who were pro Florida State, I mean, you waited a little bit too much longer. And I guess the question for Tech, Rich, is, and this may be the million-dollar question that, you know, I'm sure Buzz Williams has thought about this before. Not Buzz Williams, Whit Babcock, the athletic director at Virginia Tech, is how do you balance political clout and what you've done and being able to determine when you leave with the fact that this isn't the early 1990s or the 1980s when these are paltry salaries. I mean, you're shelling out a ton of money on coaching staffs, head coaches, facilities. You're asking your donors to pay more money when the economy is worse than it was during those times. So fans, I think, are naturally quicker to bail on support the team at all costs. And I think, not to say that I'm ready to push Frank Beamer out this year. I know it may come across that way. I for the record, I'll just say Beamer should be coaching Virginia Tech football next year. I think he should. I think he has earned at least another year to prove he can right the ship, and everybody's talking about the value next year. But I don't think you can afford to hang on, 3-4 years down the road if this is the kind of product you're getting and you expect to have more.
Well, here's the problem. And I think there's actually a couple of facets to it. Let's not kid ourselves. Virginia Tech is not Florida State. Virginia Tech is not an SEC school.
I mean, they're not an upper echelon SEC school. They're not LSU. They're not Alabama. They're not Auburn. They're not Florida. They're not Georgia. They don't rake in talent regardless, and coaches are expected to win no matter what. But, I mean, is it unrealistic to maybe compare them to an Ole Miss, a Mississippi State, an Arkansas, Tennessee by some standards, although the Vols have a national title, so you might throw that out.
Yeah,
Missouri. I mean, I think there are programs in there that you could compare them to,
but they're not
the elite of that conference.
Well, and that's what you're talking about, though.
I think that's what Tech fans thought they could be in their heyday, was competing on that level.
I think that's what they wanted to be.
I think they thought they could. I don't think they could have. I think that was their goal and their, joyous belief.
Well, yeah. I mean, goals and reality are two different things. So I think, first of all, when you realize that they're not Alabama, LSU, Auburn, the elite schools in the SEC, I mean, sure, they can be, Missouri or Kentucky or whatever. And, I mean, those are all schools that have nice years, but a couple down years, they're not running their coaches out of town. And they're especially not doing it.
I don't know about that. Were you talking about Missouri and Kentucky? I mean, they ran Joker Phillips out after, 2 years after a bowl game, and Gary Pinkle was on the hot seat before they made it to the SEC title game last year.
Okay. Well, let me rephrase.
Okay.
They're not running coaches out there who had taken them to national championship games and put their programs on the map.
You're talking about the Ole Miss, Missouri caliber schools. You're not talking about like the elite of the SEC.
Because Tech's not that.
Tech's not that. So it's hard. You can't compare them to
Tech's not that.
You can't compare them like LSU wanting Les Miles out, because Tech is not LSU.
Correct.
And I completely agree with you in that.
And Les Miles isn't an LSU guy. And I'll tell you what, I think Hokie fans, I think if you're Whit Babcock, you probably need to be very, very careful about how you handle this, because Frank Beamer isn't a hired gun that they brought in for a few years like Les Miles, tried to get a couple championships, and now that it's not working, we can show him the door. Frank Beamer is not that guy, and I don't believe the Tech fans have the same relationship with Beamer that LSU fans have with Les Miles.
Well, I think it's more personal with Beamer than it is LSU with Les Miles. It's business.
And that's my point. And if you're just going to sit there and say, well, we've had a couple bad years, Frank, time to go, I don't think that's going to sit very well with Hokie Nation.
No, and I'm not saying they should. I love Hokie Nation, by the way, because it expands beyond the borders of Virginia so much. They've got loyal fans everywhere, but there, it's not Alabama. I mean, you don't just drive down the road in every town outside of the Commonwealth and see Tech stuff the way you would Alabama stuff. I mean, it's not.
Yes, I said Hokie Nation, tongue very much in cheek.
All right, good. I'm glad. I think we got to be careful here. Nobody is saying that Virginia Tech is thinking of firing Frank Beamer. That's not out there. Nobody said that. I don't think that's the case right now. I think combining it with, recent struggles in Frank Beamer's age, and people see what happened at that point in the career for Joe Paterno and Bobby Bowden in the last couple of years were very rocky for them. I think it's understandable to speculate that that is something that you want to avoid if you're Virginia Tech. I mean, I, from everything I gather, Beamer's the guy next year. I think if, you know, but I think all the talk is, I mean, I don't know if you listened to, you know, the radio broadcast, the game last night, if you heard the ESPN broadcast, but the ESPN announcers were talking quite a bit about how the whole Virginia Tech coaching staff used next year as the year. They think they have a chance to really make a national title run next year. You know, they'll have Ohio State coming in. You know, they've got all this young talent that's going to be a year better and under
their
belt.
Raise your hand if you believe that.
I'm not raising my hand for that. But if that's what you're saying
their
as a coaching staff.
Their quarterback's going to be who?
Good question. Maybe it's Brendan Motley, you know, preseason player of the year vote getter in the ACC, perhaps. If that's what you're saying, though, then doesn't the pressure shift to next year as really being that pinpoint year that if you don't take the step you expected, I'm not saying Tech actually has to win the title, but you got to...
Ed, stop for a second. Because you just said all the talented players were what?
Freshmen and sophomores.
Okay, so next year they'll be...
Sophomores and juniors.
So then the year after that, they'll be...
Juniors and seniors.
They'll all still be there for two more years. It's beautiful. You know, if you're setting this up from a coaching perspective.
What, to buy yourself more time?
Right. Well, of course. Because if they're better next year, but still not where everybody thinks or wants them to be, say, oh, well, these guys are going to be back another year.
Well, I mean, is it still a mediocre ACC Coastal and you're staring a 6-7 win season in the face or fewer than that? Or is this a team that, you know, you get to mid-November and you know, the end of the month and you've got one or two losses on the record and you're like, yeah, well, you know, we may lose another one or two at the end of the year, but we really see progress and we're playing games the way we should. I think that realistically will determine how this football program is perceived next year, which may be much more of a decisive year for this staff.
You know, we're getting very much ahead of ourselves. But last night's game was ominous and really made the wheels start turning for everybody about what the future of this program is going to be. And again, I don't think anybody's advocating for a change at the very top.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully not for, you know, as long as he wants it. Because I think if Frank Beamer is forced out, that will be ugly.
I think it'll be
uglier than it would have been or has been at other places.
Well, let me go on the record. I'm not saying they need to get rid of Frank Beamer right now and they need to force him out. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, you know, if you're evaluating this, it is that ultimate question of where do you balance legacy and loyalty and what you've done with the business side and wanting to look toward the future. I don't have the answer to that, at least not right now.
425, Dennis Carter. Next.